I'm yours. You are mine. Keep us, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God Almighty, that we can have the assurance that we belong to you. In the midst of storms, in the midst of criticism, in the midst of apparent failure, Father, we can trust that, Lord, you hold us in your hands, O Lord. That you never fail us, you never, Lord God, let us down, though we have often let you down, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the great assurance and worship that we can remind ourselves and speak things that are true and restore our soul with truth and confession that is right and correct. For there is so much that we confess that is just not good for us, Lord. And so, Father, we take a bath this morning in worship. We cleanse ourselves of the negative things that have been spoken over us or we have spoken this week, Lord. Grant us, Lord, that confession of faith today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good, amen. He is good. Sincerely good, amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, we're glad that you're here today, amen, to hear the word of God, to take that bath, as I said in prayer, and to experience his blessings. Amen. We're just blessed to have Chuck Price today, and I want to make sure that Chuck has all the time that he needs to share the word of God. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for all that you have done. We ask, O God, your blessing on that which we are giving unto you today. Lord, you put it on our hearts what it is that we are to give. You tell us out of the abundance that we have received from God what it is that we are to do for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for that fivefold ministry. We pray for those who are around this world being raised up to share in the various aspects of the Church of Jesus Christ, one church throughout the world. Lord, we pray, Father God, for those that are sick amongst us that need a touch of healing. We pray for those that are discouraged. Those that are absent from us, Lord, because it's just too much to get to church. Father, for whatever reason, we pray for those, Lord, that are traveling this weekend and pray your blessing on them. We thank you, Lord, and we rejoice and celebrate with the birth of Lachlan. We pray, God, for Candace at home, and thank you, Lord God, for the safe arrival. We are just rejoicing with you, Lord. We pray that, God, you would continue to abound and bless your people, Father. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Speak to me, Word of God, speak to me. Speak to me, Word of God, speak to me. That verse again. Speak to me, Word of God, speak to me. Speak to me, Word of God, speak to me. I can love.
got about 20 of them. Amen, amen. Thank you, team. You guys come back in a couple hours. It's good to be back at Harmony. Thank you for the invitation. It's my fourth time, and it's rare that I get invited back, so thank you for taking the risk. This is all sweet news to me. Hallelujah. We're celebrating 10 years now on the road, and all that means is I can't keep a job, and I just keep traveling. Blow in and blow up and blow out. It's all good. Hallelujah. 10 years. That's good for me. I've been an initiator most of my life. I initiate and love to see someone else carry it and then go on and do something else. So we're still traveling 41 countries now. That's what I mean when I can't keep a job. I just go and get her done. Our passion this year is Cuba. We've been in Cuba now. I've been three times and going back again. The doors are open there. I know it's communist. If you've been to a resort, that's nice. But step off the resort and you'll see the real Cuba. And we just go and been taking teams. It's not hard to get guys to leave in the Canadian winter and go to Cuba with me for a week. And so we go in, we fly in on Saturday and fly out on Saturday. We fly in with the party crowd and we go home with them. Our hair's not braided and we're sober. Hallelujah. So it's good. I mean, if you want to get your hair braided, that's fine. I know someone that can do that. We build. So I've been buying homes, bought 7 homes in the last year and a half. Bought a 6,000 square foot home for $7,000. That was the big one. I mean, the house and the dollars. So she wanted 9, but I was able to talk her down to 7. Wasn't that kind of me? And stretch the dollar. And a 6,000 square foot home, you know, with all the goodies. And so now we turn them into house churches. And the Assemblies of God of Cuba have 7,000 churches. 37 of them are registered. 37 out of the... And you understand why. It's a communist country. And so they don't really like necessarily the preaching of the gospel. But I got news for you. It's too late for communism. Hallelujah. The gospel's being preached. When you and I leave the property over in Cuba, we have to talk about hunting or fishing. We're not allowed to proselytize or talk about Jesus. But that's pretty neat because somebody's getting saved because they got 7,000 churches. So it's great. I often think if they can do that in Cuba, imagine what we could do here in North America with the freedoms that we have. And so it's an incredible thing. Maybe we have too much freedom and we take it for granted. And so there are men and women that would lay down their life like that for the gospel of Jesus Christ in Cuba. The average wage there for the pastors is $15 a month. That was a 1-5. I know you'd be impressed with a 5-0, but it's 1-5 per month. And so they're just living their life for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we say thank you. My other passion this year is Quebec. Province of Quebec, less than 1% of that province is evangelical. You can take that from, you know, one extreme to the other. But the province of Quebec needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all do. But it's that time. I'll be in the province next month for our general conference. And I'm looking forward to being there in the city of Montreal. And then we'll be back up along the shore of Gaspé. If you've never been to the Gaspé, you should go. It's a beautiful piece of property. You don't have to leave Canada to see pretty. We are blessed with a great, great nation. Some of you have traveled and know what I'm talking about. It's an awesome place. But the gospel, this is our day, church. This is our day. We just came out of Easter. That's our Super Bowl Sunday. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that weekend rental. It was just a tomb for a Friday to a Sunday. Hallelujah. And it's all good. So I'm just thanking God for what He's doing. I'm excited. The worse it gets, the better I like it. Thank you. Thank you. The worse it gets, because Jesus has to show up. He's got no choice. There's not a man or a woman alive that can make the difference. We pray for leadership, but I have a leader within my heart today in the person of Jesus Christ, the Father, the Holy Spirit. And I just say thank you, Jesus. So, Pastor, thank you for the invitation today. There's a number of texts we could take, but I'd like us to go to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to share there, and also from the book of Luke. And I'm a narrative guy. I haven't kind of changed my MO. I have a narrative. I share. If the Holy Spirit helps, we're good to go. If He doesn't, you'll be at the Swiss Chalet early today. Hallelujah. So it's all good. Okay. Whatever you have. But I just pray Holy Spirit would take the word today and apply it to our lives. I really believe we're living in a day and age where we need to allow the Word of God to penetrate our heart in a greater way, where we need to be praying more, where we need to be witnessing more. There's an open door. There always has been. I hear the phrase open heaven. I agree with that. In my life, there's been an open heaven day in and day out. It's not a prophetic word. It's who Jesus is. There's an open heaven today because of the work of Calvary. Today, I want to take that scripture from Isaiah that really talks about Johnny the Baptist, and then Dr. Luke, through the Holy Spirit, talks about him in Luke chapter 3. 700-year period between Isaiah's writing and the time of John the Baptist, and 700 years go by in that period of time, but listen how close the translation is on what would take place in the day and age we're living in. If you'll allow me to go down to verse 3 of Isaiah 40, it says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord." And that would be the name of the title of the message today, is we need to prepare the way for the Lord. How many understand that Jesus Christ is coming back? He didn't change His mind. Church, I don't argue. I don't have to argue with people because I don't have time. I just in for a weekend and gone. But it's not a case of when Jesus Christ comes back. So I'm not going to argue with you theologically on when. There are those that will believe He'll come before the rapture, Daniel 70 weeks. Some believe at the 3.5-year period. Some believe at it will go through 7 years of tribulation. I've started a new one. I call it the pan trib. It'll all pan out in the end. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah, right? Thank you for your kindness. I don't care. I'm an evangelist revivalist. Like, I don't really care when Jesus Christ comes back. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. I mean, I care that I care, but my job is to get people ready. Two things. I need to get the church ready for revival, and I need to get the unsaved ready for the rapture. Rapture. Not a word you find in the Bible, but it's referenced a whole lot of times. The rapture, the ecclesia, the taking away of the church, right, the snatching away. Jesus Christ will come back one day, and one day your body's going to get off the ground without Air Canada. And they won't even lose your luggage. Hallelujah. It'd be awesome. All right, off we go. This big old Irish Welsh body will get off the ground. I look forward. I practice sometimes when I'm by myself. Hallelujah. And just beam me up, Scotty. It's going to be a great opportunity. But church, we got to prepare the way. Make straight, the Bible says. Make straight in the desert. Interesting phrase. Make straight in the desert. The desert, the dry, the thirsty places of your heart, your life, your business, your marriage. A highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's a pretty good resolve, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So let's travel 700 years to Luke chapter 3 and hear what Luke has to say through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And here's the words about John the Baptist. Verse 4, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight, every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Church, I believe that's what God wants us to hear today, is that we need to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's moving. He's always up to something good. I'll nod for you. You look tired this morning, right? He's always up to something good. You understand? The devil's always up to something nasty, and God's always up to something good. Whether you understand that or not, whether you feel it's good, He's always up to something good. He doesn't do good. He is good. That's His nature. And we say, thank the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in this message this morning that I just want to share with you, let me just break it down for you. A voice of one calling in the desert. A voice of one. A voice of one that is calling in the desert places, prepare the way of the Lord. Of the Lord. I like that. Actually, for the Lord. A voice. A voice. Let's break it down. Not an echo, not a parrot, but a voice. We have a lot of echoes in Christian circles today. I'll give you a minute. I like you. We have a lot of echoes. We have a lot of parrots that will parrot what they learned or heard. And leaders are readers. Readers are leaders. I like to take information. But what works in California or Kentucky might not work here in Ontario. I can take principles. I understand that. The Word of God remains the same. I get that. I understand that. But church, we have a lot of guys. We closed a church down in Durham a few years ago where I live simply because every time the pastor went to a conference, he came back with a new word from God. And after 7 years of every year going away to the States for a new word, for a new conference, the church thought, okay, we spent $12,000 on material, and every time God changes His mind, every year you hear something different. And so that church isn't in play today. They're gone. They dispersed. They're all over the Durham and Clarendon area simply because they said, Pastor, you obviously don't know what God wants. You obviously haven't heard a word from God. Church, this is the day where God wants you to be a voice. With all the voices in your head... Just me? Okay. With the voices that kind of ramble. You know, church, what I've learned over my 58 years, I don't take ownership for every voice that comes into my head. I don't. The devil traffics in the air. He traffics. He's a pimp. He traffics in the air. So you understand that. And so sometimes you'll have a thought. Please don't take ownership of every thought that wanders into your skull. Like Jesus tried to handle that when he died in a place called Golgotha. It's called the place of the skull. And even in his death, he died in a place that protects your brain. That protects your brain. So you can have the mind of Christ. You can have the mind of Christ. And we speak that and we declare that. And we say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. There are lots of echoes out there and lots of parrots. What Canada needs is a voice. We need a voice, a clear-cut voice today that would rise up and say, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way. This is the way. I know that can be dangerous, but there needs to be a clear-cut voice of one calling. One calling. Listen, church, God has called you. The calling of God remains on your life. Do you remember the day when He walked into darkness and He called you? Actually, Holy Spirit beckons. He calls. He convicts. We can still use that word? We still believe in the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I'm finding some folks and some evangelists that don't believe that anymore. And I'm like, well, really, really? I thank God for conviction. Listen, condemnation is not your friend. Conviction is. You ought to thank God, sir, for that little voice. That one voice. Never mind the other ten. Right? That one voice. It's not just moral compass. It's not just grandma's prayers. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit that said, don't go. Don't go. And you paid attention to that voice and you're alive today. You're alive today because of that convicting voice. You didn't get involved in that stuff. You ought to thank God for the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit. Of one calling. One calling. One day God called you out of darkness. He called you out of darkness. You've come. And that one voice remains. In fact, church, one of the qualifying factors of being a child of God is to know the voice of Jesus Christ. Here's the word that you've echoed and you know it, but sometimes we forget to practice. My sheep know my voice. So there's a defined qualification to be a child of God, to be a sheep, not a wolf, but to be a lamb, is that my sheep know my voice. Again, there's lots of voices out there, but they're not shepherd's voice. They're not the shepherd's voice, but there are voices all around us saying, come on, come on, come on. A voice of one calling in the desert, not on the mountaintop. But in the desert places, the dry, the thirsty, when things are complicated, when life is painful, when situations aren't going your way, right, sometimes we get more involved in that stuff than we do listening for the voice. The voice. God will take you through things. Your life is made up of seasons. What you're in now is a season. It is not your life. Someone needs to hear that this morning. What you're going through is a season. It's a season. You say, Chuck, I love my life. Enjoy it, but it's just a season. It's just a season. God will take you through that season. The preacher book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about there's a season to be born and everything else, and there's a season to die. There's a season to die. So what you're in right now is a season. If you feel right now this is a season that you're not enjoying, hold steady. The season will change. Come on, we're Canadians. I hear it's spring here. I haven't seen a lot of evidence yet, but I hear it's spring on the calendar. I'm just waiting for a little spring to spring forth in the wellspring. I want that. But church, don't lose the thought. In the dry and the thirsty places, God wants to talk to you. Johnny the Baptist didn't rent a stadium. Johnny the Baptist didn't rent a large church. He went to the desert places, and because he carried something, because something was birthed inside of him, people left the big to come out to the desert. Because they needed a word, they needed a word, they needed a word. There's some of you today, you need a word. You need a rhema word, you need a now word. You're facing time-sensitive issues in your marriage, in your business, in your health. Decisions have to be made this week, right? It's got a time frame, a beginning and end. You need a word from God. And sir, if you don't need a word from God today, you'll need a word of God at some point in your life. You need a kairos word, a moment word, a fullness word that God would speak into our lives. What does He say? He says, prepare the way. We're called people of the way. That was one of the qualifying factors in early church history. They were called people of the way. Not people in the way. There's a difference. That's amazing how one little word can change the whole structure of a sentence, right? And so we're called people of the way. We are on our way. This is not our home. Don't get so comfortable down here you don't have your spiritual bags packed by the side door. Right? We're just blowing through here. We're just blowing through here, right? Enjoy the ride, but it's preparation for what God has ahead of us. Hallelujah. We're called people of the way. Make clear, get things ready. How about this phrase? Create a favorable environment for God to work. We are people of Holy Spirit. Right? Not just happy spirit, Holy Spirit. You want a happy spirit? Walk in holiness. He'll be happy. He'll be happy. Right, so we are that kind of people. We want to create a favorable environment for God and Jesus Christ to operate. We want that. We desire that. We are people that want that. And who do we do it for? We do it for the Lord. Not of the Lord, for the Lord. We do it for the Lord. We are people for the Lord. He's coming back. and he wants to use us. Now, John was the messenger. Jesus was his message. You read Matthew chapter 3. Right? John the Baptist would be a terrible preacher. I mean pastor. He was a great preacher. He only had one message. So, Sunday morning, guess what he preached? Repent to be baptized. Sunday night, guess what he preached? Come on, work with me. It's not that hard. If I can get it, I'm not the brightest bulb in the hallway. If I can get this, you can get this. Wednesday night Bible study, repent to be baptized. Anything he did, VBS, camp meeting, repent to be baptized. I'm sure the deacons and the elders would have met about 5 months later and said, Pastor, can we ask you a question? Do you know any other message? Is it you don't think we're getting this one? Or just this is all you know? Repent to be baptized. It would have been a terrible pastor, but God called him to, even as an evangelist, I need more than seven messages. I just need to remember where I preached them and not preach them again. Johnny the Baptist, he had one word. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Maybe not the one you'd pick to represent or be the CEO of your company, but Jesus was the message. Today, the church is the messenger, and Jesus is still the message. We lift up the name of Jesus. There's no secret to good church. When we come together as a corporate church, we lift up the name of Jesus Christ and He will draw people on Himself. I don't need a seminar on that. I get that. We lift Him up, He'll draw people. John spoke of Christ's first coming. We, the church, must speak about His second coming. We need to. I travel a lot of places. I had one church and the pastor gave me a list of things I could preach on and things I couldn't. There was 26 on the no-fly zone and 19 on the maybe zone. So I looked at the no-fly zone. He didn't want me to preach on Pentecost, didn't want me to preach on the second coming, didn't want to preach on hell because that scared his people. I said, what about the second coming? He goes, well, my niece is getting married this summer and we'd like to be there. I was thinking in my mind, in fact, there was two things that went through my mind. I pray, Lord Jesus, come back quickly. I was on my way to Pennsylvania to my mother-in-law's. And I thought, well, that you know, I love her, but to see you today is okay. You know, don't have to go through the border scene, drive through Rochester and down to the countryside. And my oldest daughter was getting married, and I'm thinking, okay, pay for a wedding or go to heaven. It was an easy decision for me. So I picked one on the no-fly zone. It's funny, he's never invited me back, but I had a good morning. Hallelujah. I just tied in everything I could of the 19 things or the 26 things I couldn't preach on. Not to be rude, but people need to know Jesus Christ is coming back. Listen, He's preparing a house for you. You ought to show up. Somebody building you a house and you not move in? Shame on you. Let me know. I got people who move in. Hallelujah. He's going to invite you to a banqueting table someday that down here I probably wouldn't get an invite to. You're going to sit around a table one day, the banqueting, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to enjoy time together. We're going to do this. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back. John had one sermon. Repent and be baptized. He lived simple. His appearance, his diet. Okay, I like him up to this point. Right? He ate what? Locusts and wild honey. Like maybe locusts and chocolate. Chocolate would be good. And just kind of dip them and pop them down. But this was his diet. He wore camel hair. It just sounds itchy to me. Right? It's not this thing I want to scratch. It's like working with insulation, right? He just wore camel hair. And I'm like, wow, dude, you know, not really attractive in the natural. His appearance, his diet, his worship was simple. His message was simple. It wasn't really complicated. So church, allow me to make two comments and I'll move on. Number one from the life of John, his message of repentance. His message of repentance. We have people today that are afraid to preach the message of repentance. I understand this is the church age. I understand this is the age of grace. But church, we have the age of grace today because Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. He laid down His life for us. The grace came at a high cost. At a high cost. I still believe that we need to repent. I still believe in the age of grace. I understand God's grace. We're all grace guys and gals. I get that. But I still believe in the simple message of repentance. Repentance. The second thing from John the Baptist I learned is his uncomplicated life. As I get older, I've realized how much I don't need to be happy. Sir, ma'am, your spouse and your bank account will be much happier when you get to that point. When you realize what you don't need. When I was 30, I needed everything and wanted three of them. Raising a family. Now that I'm a grandfather, you never become grand until you have grandkids. They're cool because they're God's gift for not killing their parents. Hallelujah, right? Okay, so not my notes, but I get that. But there's some things now. Listen, would you uncomplicate your life? Sometimes we're the biggest frustration in our lives. We put ourselves into debt and things that have no eternal value. I get that. Been there, done that. But church, come on. Let's uncomplicate our Christianity. Let's just uncomplicate it and walk before God in simplicity. You'll sleep better at night because you don't have to insure everything. Okay, moving on. You didn't like that. Okay, we'll move on. So, you see, we want to make it easier for God to operate. Christians don't hurt people. Say, Chuck, what planet are you living on? I've grown up in the church. My father was a minister. Mama was a minister. You know, my sister's married ministers. My grandfather's a minister. You shake the praise tree and a bunch of reverends fall out in their head. My dog's name is Rev. I've been around this a long time. Other than the 2 years I ran away from God, it really didn't go well because he kept showing up. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the scars. But I want you to understand today, get into your heart and get into your life, that we need to make it easy for the Holy Spirit to operate. You want your son to get saved? Make it easy. You want your family to get saved? We love to quote, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then make it easy for the Holy Spirit to operate. Make it easy for your co-workers to get saved. Make it easy for your mother-in-law to get saved. Make it easy. Make it easy. Make a way. Make a path. Make it straight. Make it, raise it up. That's what God's looking for today, to create a favorable environment. So I want to deal with these things that are listed there in our portion of Scripture, how we do that, how we prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Very simply, travel with me for a few moments. Isaiah says, "Make straight in the wilderness a highway for the Lord." Dr. Luke, 700 years later, same Holy Spirit says, here's what we need to do. Make straight paths for Him. Make straight paths for Him. And this is what God wants us to do today. God wants us to make straight paths for the Holy Spirit. God wants us to make a road, a highway for our God. A highway. A highway. I travel for a living. I've been on roads where my GPS has laughed at me. I mean, I've been a northern. You go up into northern Ontario. You know, when someone gave you that shortcut and it wasn't that short after 4 hours? Yeah. So I've been there. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Church, when I get out to the highway, there's a sigh of relief. I may still be lost, but at least the road's paved. My rental will look a lot better when I get back to Thunder Bay. I've gone through 3 rentals in 1 week, smashed everything there was. They hate to see me because they're up off the plane. I don't even register early because they're going to deny me. I get that. I understand that. But church, there's something about being a highway for our God. Now listen to me this morning. Ma'am, sir, when Jesus Christ came into your life, He elevated your life. He elevated your life. He made you. He took you from the secondary and He's made you a primary. Right? You're no longer a dirt path. I don't care what your teacher said. I don't care what someone said in your family. You're no longer a dirt path. You're no longer a gravel road. You are a supreme highway. God has put structure into you. He's put layers in you. He's put some little rebar in there. He's paved it out and He's flattened it out because when people get to you, they want to see an elevated, not in yourself, but in the person of Jesus Christ. People feel safe when they get to you because they feel they're no longer on a secondary road. They're on a highway. They're on a highway that you're going to take them somewhere. You're going to show them something. You say, "Chuck, I don't feel that way. Your feelings are not my concern." There's an authority in you today because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Whether you're an A personality, a B, C, D, E, whatever Myers-Briggs told me you were. Listen, you have an authority today because of Jesus Christ. My father was a preacher. He got paid to talk, and that boy earned his paycheck. That boy could talk. Mama, Sister Hannah, the little Irish woman, she didn't talk a lot. She could talk without words. You have a mama like that looks over reading glasses, and you know what she's talking about. She doesn't say a word. She look over reading glasses, and I knew she was thinking, "Charles, you got 2 seconds to get moving, son." Got that. Understand that. Whatever type of personality you are, you have an authority today in Jesus Christ. You are a highway to God. You are a highway to God. Let me say it again because I can. You are a highway to God. You are a highway to God. Not a highway to hell. You're a highway to heaven. You're a highway to heaven. You say, "Chuck, I listen, stop it. Stop making excuses. Jesus Christ lives within you. You are a highway to where God wants to take you and where people need to follow." The Bible says, "Make straight." Help me understand, God doesn't have to make detours. God's in the construction business, but He'll not make detours. In fact, there's been times in the Old Testament where He added to the journey because they weren't ready to possess the land. So God says, "One more time around, one more time around." But I'll tell you, God will never make a detour because the devil's in the way. He can come right through the devil because He's God. He's God. He's God. The devil's a created being. He's nothing more than a fallen angel. We don't serve him, right? He's under my feet. The best thing he sees about me is my shoes. Hallelujah. Or my socks, whichever it is. I thank God for that this morning. Church, God says, listen to us this morning. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Make it straight. Make it straight. That's what God's looking for this morning. Some people that will walk on the straight highway. The straight highway. The straight. It could be narrow, but it's straight. Isaiah says, the second thought, every valley shall be raised up. Dr. Luke says, every valley shall be filled in. Raised up, filled in. Raised up, filled in. I get it. Valleys, what are they? They're depressions. They're depressions. You ever battle with depression? I got to tell you, there can be chemical and medical. I get that. I fully understand that. I get it. But you need to acknowledge there are points and times in your life where it's a spiritual attack. It's a spiritual attack. If the devil found out when he's blowing through Ontario that you struggle with depression, where do you think he'd hit you the hardest? If he knew that your doctor said you need this, what do you think the devil would do next time he's blowing through the city, the town, the village? He'll target you in the weaknesses of your life. So you need to strengthen your life through the power of prayer, the power of word, the power of worship. Your spirit can speak to your body. Your spirit can speak to your soul. Your spirit can speak to your mind. Say, Chuck, how do you know that? Remember David that day when he was sitting on the roof going, I'm nothing but a little bird. But why art thou cast down, O my soul? Who do you think's talking to him? It's not his soul. He's saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Whether you're a dichotomist or a trichotomist, body, soul, or body, soul, and spirit, your soul can be ministered today by the Spirit of God within you. You're physically in pain. I get that. Understand that. Your spirit can rise up today. You're emotionally battling something. I get it. Depressions come and go. They say winters is very hard on many people here in this nation. I get that. Understand that. This winter was a breeze compared to last winter. Everywhere I went last year, I was in Florida. It was cold. I was speaking at a Haitian church for 3 nights. It was 70 degrees, and they were apologizing for not coming. It was too cold. I was the only guy in the pool. It was like the great white floating around the pool. Hallelujah. Right? I had a great time. It was 70 degrees. Hallelujah. I'm good to go. Praise God. They were all staying home with their winter coats on, their woolies, because it was too cold. Listen, gang, I get it. I understand that. But God wants to speak to our hearts today and say there's some areas we need to raise up, some areas we need to fill in, where things collect. How about past defeats? Past defeats. Man, I love that song this morning. Never heard it before. I just that third song in, I can't even remember it now, but it just spoke to my spirit where we speak. Take all the negative things and then rise up and go, yeah, I'm still a child of God. Hallelujah. I say, thank God. You know what? Some of you need to speak to your issues today and stop allowing people to speak for you. There's lots of opinions out there. There's a right word. There's a right moment. Believe me, I've been there, done that. Got the t-shirt and the scars. I understand that. So, every depression, come on. Troubled spots, empty places, raise them up and fill them in. If you keep falling in the same hole, maybe you should fill in the hole. If you keep falling in the same depression, get a shovel. Get a shovel and fill it in. Just fill it in and just fill it in so you're not walking back in there. You need the process of filling in when you get bogged down with things. Life has a life. It can take you down roads you never thought you would be on. And some of you, you get that. I'm just suggesting this morning, every valley shall be raised up. Every valley shall be raised up. Third thought, Isaiah says, every mountain and hill shall be made low. So we go from the valleys and now we go to the mountains. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. Dr. Luke says, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Be made low. I want to give you a picture today about the mountains and how we need to look at that. Things in our flesh. Church, if you elevate flesh above spirit, you're in trouble. You're a good-looking crowd, but if your favorite friend is your mirror... Okay, enough said. All right, we got a problem there. So we can elevate flesh and pride. Entitlement. We ever face that in the church? Entitlement. Two guys up in northern Ontario, they were arguing. They were beating up their pastor pretty good. You know, I heard things like, this is our church, my mother did this in our church, and we gave money, and we gave away. And they were beating up the pastor. I have a bit of a jump-in nature, right, because I'm leaving. I just have to jump in for an hour, then I get in the truck, and I head back home. Hallelujah. So I'm not a superstar. I just got 5 minutes just to make the best of it. And I was going to jump in and try to rescue the pastor. And they're going, this is our church. You guys come and go. You guys are a dime a dozen pastors. You're a 19th pastor. And they were just, and the young man was getting a tumbling. I wanted to jump in and save him. And I didn't hear the Holy Spirit save him. There was no audible voice. But in my spirit, I heard this. Chuck, leave it alone. They're right. It is their church. I left two years ago. Now, he's an omnipresent God. He can't leave. But we want more than just his general presence. We want more than his general presence. I mean, where can God go when you're omnipresent? He's got a tough job. He can't leave you. Psalm 139. Where can I go from your presence? Whether I ascend to the heavens or make my hell by bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I remind me of the devil of that sometimes. He doesn't even own the keys to his house. Hallelujah, right? You can make a bed in hell. God says, don't stop me. I can go where I want. I'm God. Church, I want you to get in your heart today as Holy Spirit would speak to you. There's some mountains that need to come down. So I'm in India. I'm in the southern end. It's in Chennai, India. And the pastor's all excited. He says, Chuck, I want to take you to a piece of property. I said, that's great. I love to look at property. I want to dream your dream. I'll do anything you want me to do till next Monday at 2:20, and I'm flying home. So you got me till then. So just lay it out there. So he takes me to this piece of property. Sir, ma'am, it was the worst piece of property I've seen in my life. And I wanted to dream his dream. I wanted to have his vision. I got nothing. The man of faith had left. I had nothing. I said, oh, Pastor, what are you going to do with that piece of property? It didn't have one square of flat land, and it didn't have rocks. It had boulders. And there were seven women there with ball-peen hammers. Boulders. Like, not little rocks. I mean, honking boulders. Big, massive. And I said, what do you want to do with that piece of land? He goes, well, I'm going to build a home for the elderly, a senior's home for the elderly. So that's a great vision. That's a great vision. I got nothing inside. I have to stop looking at the property because my faith has just went out the window. I said, how long have those women been there? He goes, 8 months. I said, 8 months. So now I can imagine in my mind what the property used to look like. Right, so he's not helping me whatsoever, right? He's not developing faith, nothing. And my mind is racing, going, come on, Chuck, man, come up with something smart. Come up with something. I got nothing. So I said, what do they do with that? He says, they're out there, they break down the rocks, they break down the boulders, they put them in bags. They put the rock in bags, they break it down into gravel size. At the end of the day, a truck comes by, they put it in bags, put it on the side of the road. At the end of the day, a truck comes by and pays them for the gravel. And takes it down to the next village and lays it down on the road for people to walk over. Well, now I get something. Now I got a picture now. And here's the word, church. There's some mountains in your life that God wants you to break down. They're too big to deal with. And so you got to break them down into gravel-sized pieces. Put them in a bag. Put them on the side of the road. Let God pay you for it. And then walk over it. Walk over into your future. Walk over into your future. The giant you're facing today is not your biggest giant. If you can see the giant with your eyeballs, he's just too big to miss. Talk to David. He did a pretty good job. He had a Holy Ghost heat-seeking rock that flew out of that slingshot and bonked old Goliath right in the head. That was the easy giant. There were three other giants that day that David had to deal with before he got there. One was his brother, one was the people's attitudes, and one was King Saul. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. Some of you are facing some stuff today that your body says you can't do that, right? Your soul says you can't do that. And good-intending Christians say you can't do that either. I'm just simply suggesting today, whether it's a valley or a mountain, let God take control. There's some things that need to fill in. There's some things that need to come down. That's what makes flat ground in our life. Better to build a highway in that straight and the narrow place. Want to keep that in your mind today. Number four, Isaiah says the rough ground shall become level. Makes sense now that we've taken care of this. The rough ground needs to become level. Luke says the crooked roads shall become straight. The crooked roads shall become straight. I remember traveling from Hearst to Manitowage. Does anyone know where that is? Can you picture that? So I'm in Hearst and I'm coming down from one highway to Manitowage where I'm doing tent meetings. And a gentleman in the crowd in Hearst, he said, Chuck, where are you going? I said, he goes, well, let me give you a shortcut. Oh, you've been there. Yeah. And you realize that shortcut was everything to him, meant nothing to you. Right? Because it wasn't a shortcut. What should have taken 2 hours off the road so I didn't have to drive around and come back in added like 4 hours to my journey. I got to tell you, again, I told you I was on a road. They were lumber roads, and I didn't see traffic for a half hour. When I came to a Y on the road, I'd get out of my rental and I'd look down. The incredible tracker that I am. Grew up in downtown Toronto. Okay, so the great track, I'd look and I'd see which side had more tire tracks. Because whichever side looked more traveled, Chucky Boy was going to get in that side and pitter-patter down into Manitowoc. A couple of times I had to do that. There was no chance of me getting hit. I didn't see anybody. There was no traffic. Didn't even see a moose or a deer or a black bear. There was nobody. Nobody. GPS is like, you're on your own, boy. Right? It just wasn't going to happen. Listen, gang, some of you need to get out of your vehicle today. Some of you need to get out of your comfort zone. Some of you need to get out and stand by the road, stand by what you're facing. You've been in it long enough. You've been in it long enough. You need to get out today and stand in the presence of God and say, God, listen, whichever way you're moving, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. I'm not looking for what's popular. I'm looking for what's right. Don't always take the most traveled road until you know who you're following. If your life was a roadmap for people to find Jesus, would they find him? Or after a couple of days of following you, would they just throw up their hands and go, you know what, this guy, this dude, this dudette doesn't have a clue where they're going. That's real life. Sir, whether you speak gospel, ma'am, whether you speak gospel, there are people that are watching your life. You see, they figured out by now that you do go to church Sunday morning. They see your truck leave at 10 after 10. Consistently every Sunday morning. They put it together. They put it together. You're going to church because they've watched you week after week do that. We need to step it up a notch and not just go to church, but be the church. Lots of people go to church that don't know Jesus Christ. You can hide in church. Demas did. You can hide in the places of Thessalonica, one of the greatest church places in the known world at that time, when he left the apostle. Gang, I just want you to understand today that God the Father wants us to straighten out our lives, level out our lives. Level it out. Level it out. Take the crooked places, the deceitful things of our lives, and say, Father God, here it is. I feel quite comfortable in saying that today because God's not finished with you yet, whether you've served Him 2 years or 120 years. You could have helped Moses write the Ten Commandments. God's still not done with you. He's still not done with you. He's got something for your heart, something for your life. It's just easier to give directions on a road that is straight. Your life is a map for people to find Jesus. Hebrews 12:13. Listen. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. Straighten it out. Level it out so that the people who are disabled don't know Jesus Christ, not just physically, but spiritually, are not even more disabled. That God wants that and desires that on a day-by-day basis. God says, listen, number five and last thought. Isaiah says the raised places need to be planed out. See, Chuck, I thought we just dealt with that. Well, maybe. Maybe. When I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 18 and a half, 19, growing up in church circles, but always kind of doing my own thing, I had a terrible temper. I don't know if you ever battled with temper, but I met very few hard people in my life. They usually got hurt and then turned hard. There's very few guys. Like one guy in my life I know just had a severed conscience. He could cut your throat, take your wallet, order a pizza, eat it, and fall asleep. He would not give you the time of day. Only one guy in my lifetime, Doug, I remember him. Had a chance to pray for him before he died at the age of 52, lying on his brother's floor in the city of Oshawa. Filled with pain. Been in a bar fight. Killed a Satan's choice in Port Hope. Served some time. Got out years later. Hadn't seen him in 30-some years. 20-some years. Had a chance to share with him. His last words to me, says, Chuck, don't feel sorry for me. I chose this road. I didn't feel sorry for him. I just wanted something better for his future. I couldn't change the past. Our lives had taken different turns by different choices. But I prayed with him that day and called upon God that day. And as far as I know, when he died, that he had made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, thank God for that. But man, he was one of the toughest guys. I mean, just born tough, tough, tough. Rather fight than talk. But very few guys are like that. But over the time, you see, I shook my fist at God when I was 17 and swore and cursed at him downtown Toronto. Because my father was killed the night before at the age of 51 coming home from church. As a 16-year-old kid, I shook my fist at God and said, Sir, I'll never serve you a day in my life. Blank, 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 blank. Adjective, adjective, noun, noun, noun. I just laid it all out there. And that's where I was living. I hated everybody. I hated life. I hated Chuck. I hated everybody. I hate other than my mother. You never hate your mama. No, I'm telling you. I'm not asking. You never hate your mama. She's your mama. She's the queen of polyester, but she's your mother. Hallelujah, right? She's your mama. I hated everybody. I hated everybody. I hated everybody. When I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ, and He began a fresh work in my heart and my life, thank God. The Word became alive. I spent hours and hours memorizing the Word of God because my memory was shot on cheap blotter acid. I spent hours, hours. Everybody else went to bed in Bible college. I was the guy in the hallway up and down with those little knit slippers Mom made. So I wouldn't wake you, and I was just doing flip cards. The Word, 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 the Word. And my memory came back. My memory came back. It reproduced itself, my memory, through the Word of God. So I have a hard time, like your pastor, giving up on people. I got a hard time walking away. I got a hard time. Because other people gave up on us, but God never gave up on us. Aren't you glad your salvation wasn't left to a committee? No, you're laughing, but you're nervous about it. Some of us would have got voted off the island a long time ago, right? So, fast track. I'm pastor in the city of Toronto. I'm 35. We got three kids. I'm married to this beautiful American lady, Trish the Dish. It's just, life has gone on. Matthew, Sarah, Rebecca, it's good. Life is good. I'm dropping the kids off at the North York Library on a Saturday night. What could possibly go wrong at a library? I'm pulling out, saying goodbye to my kids. I'll pick you up in an hour and a half. I'm pulling out. This guy's pulling in. I haven't really dealt with temper for a lot of years. I had a lot of years. Just haven't dealt with it. This guy comes in, he cuts me off. We're in the middle of the street now. And he's looking at me and I'm looking at him. My left hand's going for the door. And then I catch myself thinking, Chuck Price, two things are going to happen when you step out. Either you're going to lay a beating on this guy, or even worse, he's going to lay a beating on you. There was a time in my life where I didn't care, sir, bring a friend. Because the physical pain you would impose upon me was easier to deal than the emotional pain. I'll give you a minute, because some of you have been there. You see, my lip would heal. My nose would mend. The stitches would come out. They would come out. And that would take my mind off the emotional pain of the hatred and the bitterness and rejection and the hurt that I felt, whether due or undue, I felt in my life. So whether you beat me to, you know, down on my knees, it wouldn't matter, because it felt better than some of the junk I was facing on the inside. Have you been there? I don't welcome abuse. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm just simply saying it's been a lot of years since I felt that anger, and all of a sudden it rose up. I don't know why. We're at the library. I sat there, hand going for the door. He's looking at me. He's not getting out. I'm trying to put on my mean Pentecostal preacher look. And then like this peace came into the car saying, Chuck Price, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We've traveled too many miles, sir. We've gone down too many roads. This would not be the right thing to do. Plus, I could see that my kids were in the big glass window of the library watching their dad. Didn't catch that right away, but I got Matthew, Sarah, I got a multitude of witnesses, as you and I do every day of our life. I could just read the headlines in the Toronto Star, Pentecostal preacher beats guy up at the library. Or takes a licking. I went around that fella, and I waved to him. He waved too, but I used all my fingers. I got home a few blocks away, came in the door, and my wife looked at me. She goes, what's wrong, honey? You look whiter than usual. I said, thank you. Thank you. I said, I'm disappointed. She goes, what happened? I said, I'm disappointed in me. I thought I was farther along than I really am. Every once in a while, you have a moment like that in your life, sir, as a Christian. Ma'am, every once in a while, you have a moment like that in your life where the realization is that what you thought was dead may still be ticking inside. What you thought was dealt with, as long as you're in flesh, you'll battle against flesh. That doesn't mean we can't have victory. I'd rather have victory than suppression. I'd rather have things taken out of my life than hitting things down that pop up once in a while. Today, it's been a lot of years since that moment. I repented that night. I repented of my kids when I picked them up. They said, Dad, what happened out there? I said, nothing. Nothing happened. Something could have happened, but nothing happened. Church, I thank God for nothing that night. I really thank God for nothing. I really do. You know, today you'd have to go a long way to get me razzled. You'd have to go a long way. You better bring lunch and oxygen. You'd have to go a long way to trip my you got to go a long way. I guess because I got older now and I realized that, you know what, we're not Superman, but I serve Jesus Christ, who's better than anything down here and above and below, and I want to honor him by my actions. There are some things in our lives. So then God says, listen, I want you to take those rough places and I want you to smooth it out. Smooth it out. Let's take the car of life. You're traveling through life. You're driving the 400 series and it's great. In Toronto, we have two seasons, winter and potholes. And even though I think I know where most of them are, there seems to be new ones every spring. And they'll spend millions of dollars on filling in potholes. You know that God doesn't want to just fill in potholes. He wants to give you something new. So you're driving your truck in the comforts of life. You got a little worship music on and things are fine. And you know what? I can see the mountains coming. I can see the hills coming because they're big. It's that little pothole. It's that little pothole. And all of a sudden you're just cruising along, wrist over the steering wheel, got some worship music on. Life is good, isn't it, sir? Ma'am, life is really good. Kids are growing. Your TV remote is where you left it. Coca-Cola's in the fridge. Dog's dead. Oh, sorry. My experience. Remember that dog you bought when the kids were little? The last baby left the house and the dog's looking at you. Like, you're still here, are you? Kids are gone. That dog. Yeah. Life's good. And all of a sudden the pothole comes. Bam! Didn't see it, did you, sir? Didn't know about that phone call, did you? Didn't catch that doctor's report, did you, sir? Didn't expect that email. Didn't expect your brother to turn on you. Didn't expect a Christian to do that to you. And all of a sudden, bam! Down goes one tire out of four. But you know and I know it's enough to throw off the alignment. I know I'm on overtime now. And all of a sudden you've got both hands on the wheel. The music isn't enjoyable. And the wrist movement isn't there. You've got both hands on the wheel because your truck wants to keep pulling right or left because one tire hit one pothole. And that's life. And God says, sir, if you wouldn't mind, I could take care of that pothole. I could smooth it out. I could do that. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to pull into my garage. I need you to pull into the garage of the Holy Spirit. And I need to do an alignment. I need to do an alignment to get you back on the road. I need you to balance some things in your life that are out of balance. Yeah, like work and marriage, and kids and private time, and devotional time and television time. And I need you to pull into the garage, and I need you to get you up on the hoist. And I need to look underneath where other people don't see the shiny top of the car. God says, let's get up on the hoist and see what's going on underneath. God's not concerned about the shininess of your car. He's not concerned with the shininess of your truck. He wants to see how the thing's working. So God just says this morning, listen, whatever you're facing, I want you to face it with me, and I want to prepare you to prepare people to meet me. I want you to prepare a favorable environment, a favorable environment. I want to use you as a highway, a primary, that people would come to Jesus Christ, that they would know Jesus Christ. I believe that what God the Father is saying to us this morning. And I want you to hear it. I want you to respond to it, act on it. Here's the results, church. And Isaiah says, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Luke says, all mankind will see God's salvation, the glory revealed, and salvation to all mankind. Sounds good to me. Church, we need to prepare the way. We need to prepare the way. But to do that, God needs to prepare us. It's true. So I want to prepare the way. Then God says, okay, Chucky boy, easy message to preach. How is it going to live out Monday morning? How is it going to live out on internet? How is it going to live out at tax time? How is it going to live out on, and you can put in your nouns and adjectives. So church, we're called people in the way, no, of the way. Holy Ghost people raised up by God to prepare a way for the end time move of God to produce an end time harvest. And I say, thanks, Lord Jesus Christ. I got six lines and I'll close with that. But before you can prepare the way for the Lord, we must be prepared by the Lord. So here's, we're going to do this. Before we can make straight the way, we need to straighten up too. I'm talking to me. Served the Lord God now for 40 years. There's still some things that need to be straightened up. Straightened out. Still, 40 years. God's never given up on me, and I'm sure not giving up on Him. The mystery is not that I love Jesus. The mystery to me is that He loves me. I know me. I've seen what these hands are capable of. I've seen what these feet have been capable of. I've seen these eyes and this mouth. I know, as you know yourself. And yet God just steps in. Before we can make straight, God says straighten up. We need to fill in the low living areas of our Christian life. It might not be low living to somebody else, but it convicts you. Remember when we first got saved? There were things that bothered us, and 20 years later, they don't bother us anymore. You think that's a good thing? Have we matured beyond, like in grace and yet not in repentance? And say, Father, would you help us? We need to tear down those things in our life that enable self. Enable self. Again, we're seekers of Him which is good. The Bible says there's nothing good found in our flesh. I know that rocks your pride. That's not a bad thing. Something else that God says. We need to get rid of the crooked, deceitful areas of thinking. We need to deal with the rough patches of our heart and smooth them out. We need to get get saved, with the saved ready for revival and the unsaved ready for rapture. We really do. Church, prepare the way. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not looking for a John the Baptist today. I'm looking for the church to rise up and take its place. Position yourself for an end time move of God. Position yourself to be used of God. I don't expect the world to get better. I expect the church to get better. I expect for us to rise up, take our authority. I don't ask the devil anything. I command him. I ask God, but even that recently, God's been saying, Chuck, you've been asking me for 20 years. It's time to take it. See, here's ask. Here's take. Here's ask. Here's take. I'm taking that. I'm taking that. Would you help in this generation to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ? Whatever that smell is like, looks like, tastes like to you, would you help? Would you help today to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ? Corporately and individually. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, that would be a good first step. To get on the highway. Just to get on the highway and get off the dirt travel. Get out of there. You see, you can drive to Montreal on a gravel road, or you can take the highway. You'll both get there. But what about the wear and tear on your vehicle? What about the wear and tear on your life, your marriage, your health? You can get there on a secondary road, or you can take the primary. Smooth, straight, and be what God wants you to be. Does that make sense to you this morning? Good. Can we pray together? Good. I was going to do it anyway. Give me a little music, will you? A little slap the devil music. Come on, let's stand together. You've been sitting for a while. Abba, Father, God, sir, would you just reach in where we're living today? Would you reach in where we're living today? Would you just touch us where we're living today? Would you touch us today? A message to the church. Prepare the way. I hear a voice. I hear a voice. I hear a voice of one, a voice, a name above every other name. I hear a voice. I welcome that voice. I hear a voice. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Get ready, get ready, get ready, church. Get ready, church. Prepare the way of the Lord, for the Lord. Not just for His return, but for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this nation. That we would see our sons and our daughters once again rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. We'd see our grandbabies come home and prophesy. In the last days, God said, pour His Spirit upon all flesh, upon our sons and our daughters, that they would prophesy. They would speak the word upon our young men, our old men, visions and dreams, upon our handmaidens, says the Lord, upon our ladies. Ladies, listen to me this morning. If God didn't want to use you, you wouldn't have been represented in the upper room. You were well covered in the upper room that day. If God didn't want to use you, you wouldn't have been in that upper room, but you were. Young man, old man, dad, God's not done with you yet. You can live to be 120 as long as you're breathing His air and walking on His planet. God says, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. There were people that will listen to you that would never give me the time of day. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. I pray today, Father, we understand the seriousness of the day and age we're living in. I pray for that Holy Spirit, some of that John the Baptist Spirit that has an understanding, like the men of Issachar, that would understand the day and age they're living in. It's no longer church as usual. It's not the 1960s. It's not the 1980s. I'm not looking back. I'm looking ahead. Big windshield, little rearview mirror. I pray that I pull for my future, not my past. I pray that today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen, if Holy Spirit would speak to you before we leave and go for a bite to eat, if Holy Spirit would speak to you and say, hey. Well, He won't say hey. He might use another language. Just speak into your heart and say, listen, son, daughter, there's some things that I want to prepare you for. Everything in your life is preparation. Everything in your life is preparation. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. The times you felt assaulted, the times you feel that somebody verbally tore you apart. The mountain, the valley, everything is preparation. It's all preparing you for a moment in God. What if I told you that you lived all your life to lead one person, the Lord Jesus Christ? Would it be worth it? If God says, I'm going to give you 100 years down here so you can lead one person to Jesus Christ, would it be worth 100 years? It would be to that person. It would be if it was your son. It would be if it was your daughter. It would be in the world. Everything that God says, prepare the way, church, prepare the way. Prepare the way, prepare the way, prepare the way. But God says, I want to prepare you. I want to prepare you. God's nudging your heart that way this morning, that there's some work that needs to be done. There's some mountains that need to come down. There's some valleys that need to fill in. There's some rough places. You know, it's a great highway for 50 kilometers, all of a sudden 20 feet of bad pavement, and bam, it's amazing what that decision can do in 20 feet. It's amazing what it can do to your vehicle. It's amazing what it can do to your marriage. Just a bad moment. I say, Father, set us loose today for preparation, for preparation, for preparation. God's not done with it yet. You got a couple of moments? I want to pray with you. I just want to come. This is the altar because it's going to alter your future. Hallelujah. All right. You got a couple of minutes. Say, Chuck, that's not my persuasion. I hear the word. I get it. I'll alter this afternoon. I understand that, but I won't be with you. Let me put my Irish Welsh hand on your right shoulder and just pray a blessing over you. Fair enough? Fair enough. I want you back tonight. We're going to have a great evening. Look forward to it. But this morning, God laid this message upon my heart. Hundreds of messages we could preach. But this is the word for you this morning. This is the word this morning. So as the worship team takes us, I just want to come down, turn the microphone off, and just pray with you. Fair enough? Fair enough? Turn it back to the pastor. You want to come? These altars are open. Father, we just want to receive today. Got my antennas up? We just want to receive today. Holy Spirit, rise up. Rise up. The 120 did us a large favor. They prayed you down. You never left. Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. I want to be people, men and women of preparation to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ. So prepare me. Deal with the stuff in my heart, my attitudes, my body, Lord God. I pray that today in Jesus' name. Set us free to be. Not to do ministry. To be what you want us to be. To be what you want us to be. I pray that today in Jesus' name. God's people said, Amen.